Now we're going to open up to questions from reporters. Reporters, we would love to get your questions. Go down to the bottom of your screen and look for the Q&A button. You might find it. Sometimes you have to look for the more button with three dots. Click on that, and then you'll see the Q&A button. Click on that, and then type in your name that you have a question, and then I'll unmute you. Go ahead and do that. Love to get your questions. My first question is going to come from John Hurdle with Inside Climate News. Let me just unmute you, John. One second. Okay, I'm unmuting you. Go ahead, John, ask your question. Unmute yourself on your own computer as well.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, can hear you. Go for it.
Awesome. Oh, good. Can you help me understand what appears to be a discrepancy between the power plants that you've identified in your report? That is the and I'm talking about the Pennsylvania power plants now. There are seven of them that you've specified, and there's another measure of data center plans that you may be aware of. It's the it's a to it's a it's an independent website that tracks the planned data centers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. In fact, I think it's probably national now, but in any case, I'm just interested in the Pennsylvania part of this. Anyway, so that survey is showing a very much larger number of planned data centers. The latest number on that website is 67. So clearly that's a lot more than the seven that you've identified, and the seven plants that you've identified. So I was hoping that somebody could help me understand what appears to be a discrepancy here.
Yeah, John, we'll answer that. It's not a discrepancy. As we describe in the report, we're looking at only behind the meter gas plants, only power plants planned dedicated to data centers. We're not looking at all data centers. We're not looking at all power plants. We're only looking at the subset that are the behind the meter gas plants that are dedicated just to data centers. Griffin, you want to tackle that one?
Yeah, I think Tom did a good job of answering it. But again, we're tracking the power plants themselves that would serve these data centers behind the meter. I think, John, you were describing maybe a map of data centers themselves. So that's why there's going to be a different number, because not every single data center is building a behind the meter gas power plant to get its electricity.
Yes.
So I think
Okay.
that's going to account for the difference. And again, just to limit the scope of the report a bit, because this is such a big and growing industry, we were only looking at behind the meter gas power plants that would generate at least 100 megawatts of electricity. So it's even possible that some of the data centers that you're seeing could be building a behind the meter plant, but it might just have been below our threshold. But I think the biggest explanation is just we're looking at the power plants and not the data centers by themselves, if that makes sense.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful.
Great.
Sure.
Okay. Our next question, and also I would like to note that one reason we looked at only the behind the meter gas plants is the industry itself has been promoting this as a wonderful solution. So we thought, well, it's not that wonderful if you look at the environmental impact. Let's analyze even this subset, the behind the meter gas plants. Okay, our next question is from Ariel Wittenberg with Greenwire E&E News. Let me just unmute you, Ariel. One second here. I'm unmuting you, Ariel. Unmute yourself and ask your question.
Great. Hi. Thanks for doing this work. I just wanted to know, for your numbers of the data centers that you're including and the power plants, how confident you are that like these projects will come to fruition? Because it sounds like there's maybe a range in how far along they are. And I know of at least one project, where I live, that they just kind of changed. They were going to go for gas turbines, and now they're looking at fuel cells, which is maybe a little bit different. So just wondering how confident are you that like all of this will come to pass?
Griffin Bird, do you want to tackle that one?
Yeah, sure. So I should mention from the outset that what's presented in this report is a snapshot in time. We finalized the data presented in this report and that we used at the end of April. So there's already been 2 months intervening since we finalized the data and were able to get everything together for the report. And this is such a fast-moving industry that I wrote it down. There's at least 11 additional behind-the-meter gas power plants that have come out that we've made become aware of since we finalized the data. But just keep in mind that this report is a snapshot in time. Again, we finalized the data at the end of April. We are not in the business of trying to prognosticate which plants are going to get built and which plants aren't. We're trying to provide people a full picture of what companies are saying, what they're planning, what they're saying to state regulators about their plans for these facilities. But you're absolutely right. These projects move quickly. Some come, some go. There's even a plant in Texas that's included in the report, the NRG Solar Power Center in Texas. We just learned, I think, yesterday that the company withdrew their air construction permit application for that project. So these things move quickly, and we're not making any claims about certainty that all of these are going to be built or some of them are going to be built. That's not what we're trying to do with this report. We're not trying to gauge any kind of certainty as to whether one project's going to move forward or another's not.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Yeah, and
Yeah,
as
and
we go ahead,
I would just
Jen.
add that, nobody has a crystal ball in terms of being able to predict what the ultimate outcome is. But Griffin is absolutely right. The plants in this report are based on what the companies themselves have represented that their plans are. And community opposition to these facilities is rising. And there are a significant number of plants that are being challenged, that may be defeated. And so that is a really important part of the story, is that communities are really fighting back against these proposals.
That answer your question?
Yes, thanks.
Great. Okay. So, reporters, we would love to get your questions. Look on the bottom of your screen for the Q&A tab. Click on that, type in your name and that you have a question. You might find that Q&A under the More button. It's three buttons, it says More. Click on that, you'll find the Q&A button. Our next question is from Megan Kimball of the Houston Chronicle. I'm going to unmute you, Megan, and then you can unmute yourself. Give me one second here. Okay, Megan Kimball, go ahead. Unmute yourself on your own computer as well. Okay, we seem to be having. Let me try this again. Sorry for the delay here. I have some technical difficulties here, but the question that Megan typed was she wanted to submit it in writing because she's in a loud office. My apologies. Do the behind-the-meter power plants documented in the report send 100% of their power to data centers? The report notes that projects can be eligible for grants and loans in Texas, as long as no more than 50% of the plant's capacity is dedicated to the data center. She has the second question after that, but let's try that first part of it first. Griffin Bird, do the behind-the-meter power plants documented in our report send all 100% of their power to data centers?
Yeah, it's a great question. So there's no universal definition of what constitutes a behind-the-meter power plant. Our definition, the one that we, our operative definition for the report was whether a power plant is planning to supply electricity directly to a data center without routing through the wider electrical grid first. I do think it's accurate to say that we cannot say that these plants will exclusively provide electricity to data centers, even if they plan on supplying a majority or as much as it needs. We have seen from permit applications and other documents that there are some of these plants that are potentially planning on getting grid interconnection so that they could sell excess electricity if they have it back to the grid. So exclusively supplying electricity to power plants is not a claim that we're making in this report, but supplying electricity directly and that being the primary function of these power plants, yes.
She also asks, the report notes the projects can be eligible for grants in Texas and loans in Texas as long as no more than 50% of the plant's capacity is dedicated to the data center. How does that apply here? Do we know?
I think Megan's talking about the ERCOT Generation Loan Program from the Texas Energy Fund. I think that's accurate. These plants would be eligible to receive loans and grants from the Texas Energy Fund so long as they are not devoting more than 50% of their total generating capacity to a data center.
Her second question is, did you look at how many, if any, of the 32 plants planned in Texas have applied for grants or loans through the Texas Energy Fund?
That is something that we looked at. I don't think we were able to identify any that had advanced to the, there's different stages of the Texas Energy Fund review process, and I don't think we were able to identify any power plants that had advanced to this latest stage of the approval process at the Texas Energy Fund. I think they call it due diligence, but we did not find any of the power plants in our report had advanced to that due diligence stage of the Texas Energy Fund process.
And I noticed that Amy Margolis, did you raise your hand?
Yeah, I had just wanted to add a perspective from West Virginia because we have a specific stipulation in HB 2014, which we have a microgrid law here that was passed last year, and there's a 60% threshold in order to qualify for exemptions from the state PSC. It must allocate over a microgrid must allocate over 60% of its power generation to high impact data centers, and those high impact data centers must be over 90 megawatts or more of electricity. And so once they go over that and receive the certification by the state through the Department of Commerce, they are certified as a microgrid, and that changes the whole tax formula. So basically a high impact data centers that are 89 megawatts, the tax formula would primarily go to local counties. So the local counties would get 100%. It would go to local services and schools. And then once it becomes a microgrid, 70% of those tax revenues gets diverted to Charleston. So we have a very specific situation here, but there are some specific thresholds for power generation and use.
Sorry, just last thing. Megan, your question about the Texas Energy Fund is great. I've got that written down somewhere, but since it's not something we address in the report, after we get off the press conference, if I find anything different, I'll be sure to follow up with you via email,
Yeah,
but I
let's.
don't think so.
Okay, yeah, we can connect you two, and you guys can talk offline, and that would be great. But thanks, Griffin. Our next question is from Dawn Reeves. Dawn from Inside EPA. I'm going to unmute you, unmute yourself on your own computer, and ask your question.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my question. I appreciate it. I just want to know if you guys have looked at all at any regulations that would be helpful for any of this. I know EPA has said, that they're not going to, come up with a data center regulation plan. Is there anything else that could be done that would be helpful, states or any other federal agency, perhaps?
Jen Duggan, do you want to tackle that one?
Sure, I will take a first crack at that, and then I suspect our other panelists will have specific ideas for this. But with respect to the gas power plants and the data centers, we need to first enforce the laws on the books. So what we are seeing is that these companies are not fully complying with the Federal Clean Air Act by obtaining a major source air permit when they're actually a major source of air pollution. So I think an important first step is to make sure that these companies are actually following the laws already on the books. And then I would pass it over to our other panelists. To respond, but I think that's just a really important point, that we're not seeing compliance with the laws.
Amy Margolis, your thoughts?
Yeah, we have a combination of both lack of compliance with the laws and bad law. So I would say for us, really, as a community, what we ask for is basically strategic economic development. So the right place, the right process, and right profit sharing. So those would be the principles that we're really concerned with. We don't want to see, we've seen basically bait and switch with permitting where there's phased development and, a plant is said to be a minor source of pollution. And then once they get past that threshold to avoid federal regulation, then they scale up and make it a bigger project. Ensuring that one, the laws in place are being applied in a consistent way and they're not being dodged. And then second, that in our case, the state law that basically preempts all local control removes any control that communities might have in terms of any aspect of these developments, whether they're noise, light, air pollution, any of these things, we can lose any control over that. That is something that must be repealed, and it's not acceptable for communities not to be involved in such large decisions.
Great. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
All right. Reporters, we'd love to get your questions. Look for the Q&A button at the bottom of your screen. It's under the More button. Click on that, put your name in there. We'll get your questions. Our next question is coming from Anika Jane Beamer. Let me unmute you. Anika, tell us which publication you're with and unmute yourself and ask your question. Hello. Oh, Inside Climate News. Your connection sounds kind of rough. I'm going to read your question out loud to the panel. Anika Jane Beamer of Inside Climate News asks, "What should we understand about the differences between these behind the meter plants dedicated to data centers and the many gas-powered peaker plants proliferating in places with high data center energy demand?" So the difference between behind the meter plants in our report and peaker plants being built in areas of the country where there happens to be high data center energy demand. Griffin, do you want to address that question?
Sure, it's a great question. There's two things I can think of right off the top. If it's a peaker plant being built by a utility that's not strictly in response to, say, data center demand, and maybe it's been in the works for longer, it could be a different generating technology that they're using, like a combined cycle turbine or a simple cycle turbine to operate a peaker plant. We're seeing that with a lot of these behind the meter gas power plants proposed for data centers, these are trying to get very fast build times, right? They want to be able to say, we'll supply electricity to your data center very quickly, right? A month, a year, 2 years, a year and a half. And that generally means that these companies will make use of whatever generating technology they can get their hands on. And what we've seen so far for the plants that we're aware of is that this often means using things like simple cycle turbines, gas-fired turbines, which are less efficient than internal combustion engines or combined cycle turbines. So there could be a difference there between, say, a utility scale peaker plant and one of these behind the meter plants. And I think the other thing would be the capacity factor. In other words, how often that plant is going to run at full capacity. We don't get into in the report any claims about the expected capacity factors for these behind the meter gas power plants. There's some detail about that in the appendix if you want to read about our methodology and how we did this. But generally, data centers use a lot of power and they want to have their servers online most of the time. So, if anything, my guess would be that you'd see a higher capacity factor for these behind the meter power plants, that they're operating at more closer to full capacity more of the time than a utility scale peaker plant, if that answers your question.
And I would add that, to build on what Griffin is saying, is that a lot of these behind the meter plants are actually larger in terms of the total generating factor than other utility scale plants. So that's, they have the ability, depending upon how much they're running, but they have the ability to generate more power, which means more climate pollution, more health harming pollution. So they are often larger than the power plants that we're seeing proposed connected to the grid as well.
I think also the other piece is
Sorry,
basically,
take this upstairs
these
now.
are,
I'm going
private
to switch the calls.
facilities
I take
that
this
are
upstairs.
not subject to, that they're lacking public oversight. So avoiding those federal regulatory standards, even things such as protection against cyber attacks, that plants that
Let's see
are
if
grid
the
connected would be subject to.
laundry's done.
Okay. Thanks so much. I think that answers your question, Anika. I believe, if not, let us know. If anyone else has any final questions, let us know. And check in Appendix C of the report. We have a place where you can click and download the spreadsheet of all the data we use in the report, all the different plants we're talking about across the country, what the local demographics are, how much pollution could be released by each plant, lots of specifics, and links to the public records. For the cases where we could track down the public records for them. All right, if there are no more, oh, we do have a question from David McPherson. He asks, how feasible are existing renewable energy sources to meet the data center power needs? And if existing renewable energy sources are insufficient, how much expansion is needed? Griffin, you want to tackle that question? How feasible is it to use, or actually, I wonder if Alex might tackle
I was
this
going to
one.
say, Alex might want to take a
Alex,
crack at
can clean energy tackle this demand?
Yes, clean energy can absolutely tackle this demand. But to the first part of the question, there is not enough existing power generation of any stripe to satisfy the projected demand for these hyperscale data centers. So there needs to be new generation, one way or another, if the AI data center build out goes forward as planned. And to be clear on that, I think most people don't think that most people see this as a bubble, and there will be some deflation in, what actually gets built compared to what's being proposed. Nevertheless, I think there's also a fairly strong consensus that there will be a lot more demand added to the grid.
Is Elijah in the home yet?
So this demand
Okay.
is not
Hey,
all going
Don,
to
unmute
be.
yourself. Mute yourself.
What time do you want to leave?
Hey, Don. Don Reeves, mute your
You
computer, please.
went to the farmers market?
No.
Sorry about that. Okay, go ahead.
One of the things that you'll hear from people when you talk about the capabilities of renewable energy is, well, it takes up too much space. So, but most of the generation obviously is not going to be on site if it's renewables. So renewables such as solar and wind have specific places that they can get sited that are not always, right next to the data center. But there's no limit, right? There's no limit on how much solar can scale up, and it can scale up a lot quicker than a lot of the gas-fired power plants that are being proposed, where there is a backlog of turbine generation capacity of physical turbines to fulfill the demand. Solar is very quick to build out because you're preparing a lot of land and you're deploying a lot of panels and a system to connect them. It is not a giant new facility. And of course, the other aspect of that is that batteries complement the solar and wind generation for when they are lower, batteries kick in. For when they're higher, batteries take in the energy and even it out to satisfy whatever type of demand that you're asking.
Thanks. Any other thoughts on that point? Edward Donnelly, do you still have a question or has your question been answered? Let me find Edward Donnelly.
Tom, I think he was asking about health studies on the impacts of these projects. And I think Amy provided one example. I would just underscore that, gas power plants are not new technology. We know what pollutants are emitted and we know what the health impacts, are from. from fine particulate matter, nitrogen oxides, and all of the other toxic air pollutants that are emitted. And that's been well documented in terms of the health impacts from these gas power plants.
Thanks,
All
Jen.
right.
Yeah, just to clarify, I provided a study. It was an independent analysis conducted by Harvard looking at the projected impacts of the facility in our county. That projected up to $35 million in health damages from this facility. And that spread beyond, obviously, just our county because these are looking at air dispersion modeling. So it's really concerning data.
Okay, any final questions? If not, feel free to ask any follow-up questions. You can call me directly at 443-510-2574 or email me at tpelton@environmentalintegrity.org. If you need data or follow-up questions or interviews, happy to help any way I can. I want to thank our panelists for helping with the presentation today and to all the reporters who joined us today. The report is on our website if you need it. And thanks so much for your time and have a great afternoon.